God is calling our church to build ministry that seeks the lost, makes disciples, and meets needs. Look over at somebody and tell them, don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. We're going somewhere this morning. The reality of life is that God creates and the enemy counterfeits. The enemy cannot create anything. The only thing he can do is counterfeit what God has already created. And things we learn about God and our enemy as we read through Scripture is that God builds and the enemy breaks. God's constantly building up and the enemy is constantly trying to tear down. Other things you read and learn in Scripture is that God, he works through vision. But the enemy, he works through division. God will release a vision and he will attract people to that vision. And through the unity under the banner of that vision, really good things can happen. But then the enemy wants to get involved and wants to bring multiple visions, division, and to try to disassemble that unity and try to tear apart the plans that God had, the good plans, the plans. It's like the enemy has just really never learned, don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. I want you to see this verse with me. It's recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us, everybody say us, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over everything on the earth. So God said, let us, speaking of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's about to be a committee meeting in heaven. Let us make man in our image. And when this man is made, he's going to not only be made in the likeness of God, but he's going to have dominion over every single thing that is on the earth. Well, after everything I've just told you about God and the enemy, it wouldn't take long to figure out that the enemy's not going to be a fan of this. Can I get a witness? But I think we need to teach the enemy, through the help of Jesus, don't mess with us. Pray with me. Father, help me to preach. Help me to deliver your word. God, give me an anointing that is rich and real. And God, I pray that people would be provoked by your Holy Spirit to take their next step in you, whatever that might be, in Jesus' name. And this church said, amen. Years ago, I remember being taught a principle that comes through the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ. It's recorded in the book of Luke. It's chapter 11. It's verse 24. It says this, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, he seeks rest, he finds none, and he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept. So just to make sure everybody's on the same page, what Jesus is describing here, that a demon has been cast out. It has been sent away. A devil has been told he's going to have to find a new residence. And what happens is that devil goes and he starts to search and he starts to look for a place to land. And when he can't find it, he says, I'm going to go back to the place that I came from. And what he does is he goes back and it says he will find, because Jesus got involved, because God got involved, that place is swept. And he comes back to that place that's swept. And then he decides, I'm going to take seven other spirits more wicked than myself, and they will enter and dwell there, and the last state of this man is going to be worse than the first. Just think about that for a minute. That the enemy has a desire, once he has run off from your life, to try and come back. And when he comes back, he is coming back with a greater level of vengeance. In fact, Scripture says he's going to try to find some buddies that are more wicked than himself, going to come back seven times stronger. Here is what I learned from this passage of text. What doesn't kill you the first time will mutate and try again. I cannot get any help on a Sunday morning. Sound familiar? The enemy is always going to try to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the thing that Jesus is teaching us is that if he don't succeed the first time, He's going to come back seven times stronger. Because while God says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house, the enemy wants to contradict the Bible, to counterfeit the word of God, and say, no, the end of this man is going to be worse than it ever would have been at the beginning. But if you notice something, there was a thing that stuck out in that text, in that teaching from Jesus. And what Jesus shared with us is that one of the reasons that the enemy can be successful is because he comes back and he finds the house that he was run off from in a swept state, in a clean state, but in an empty state. So what you have to make sure that you do is that you feel any empty place in your life, that you feel any void in your life with the presence of God, especially if God has given you deliverance, if God has run the enemy off. It is important that you allow the Holy Spirit to not just fill you halfway or just to the brim, but you allow the Holy Spirit to fill your life and the house of your heart to overflowing, so that when the enemy comes back, he discovers there's a new resident. And I didn't just get delivered, I got filled. I think there's a lot of people that want to settle for deliverance but never welcome infilling. And what you got to do is say, I don't just want to get delivered, man. I want to be filled to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what that teaches me, is that we must invite God to be something more than a helicopter parent. It's like we just want to know that God is kind of hovering over our life and kind of get involved, kind of zoom in when something is beyond our control. But here's what I want you to see in a passage of text, and we are going somewhere in Scripture this morning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Watch this. And the earth was without form, and it was void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Just tell somebody, hovering. So it means he's not in it, he's just above it. He's not touched it yet. He's not thoroughly involved himself yet. He's just hovering over it. He's just playing helicopter parent. And here is the result of God hovering but not being in. It tells us that the earth was without form, it was void, and there was darkness. So here's what creation looks like, is a result of God hovering. It is without form, it is empty, and it is dark in deep places. So if you just want to have a relationship with God where that he's hovering over your life, but you never really have a relationship where he comes into your life and you begin to fully nurture all the things he wants to do on the inside of you, it is a very real possibility that you will mirror the original creation as long as you allow your relationship with God to remain in that state. That it's possible your life could be without form. It's possible that there could be some empty places. It's possible that you could be dark in some deep places. The thing that sticks out to me is I think we have to ask ourselves, like, are there places in our life where that we are without form? Here's what I mean by that. There's no order. Is there a part of your life that is constantly out of order? An example of that might be your anger. It's like you just cannot control your fits of rage. And you're constantly stepping to this place where there are no boundaries on your anger. And you're just constantly flying off the handle and saying inappropriate stuff and threatening this person and daring that person. Like, are you without form? Another example would be lust. Like, are you just kind of meandering from bedroom to bedroom? Like, are you in a place where that your life, your love life, that there's no border on it, there's no form to it. It's just whatever feels good and whatever's in front of me next and whatever I'm craving at the moment. Without form. It's just what addictions do. They take the borders off our life. They take the boundaries off our life. They remove the order from our life. That's why we know God is not a part of addiction, because everything that God does is decent and in order. And the enemy doesn't want your life to be decent and in order. So he tries to get you to a place where you settle for God just hovering over you so he can keep you without form. He wants you to be empty. Like, do you feel empty? Do you feel exhausted? Do you feel fatigued? Do you feel like you don't even really know how to love anybody anymore because you don't really have anything to give? Do you feel like you can't be generous because you're empty? Empty. Dark in deep places. It's one thing. You remember that's what it said, that he was hovering and it was over the face of the deep, and the face of the deep was dark, that there can be places in our life, the deepest places in us, that are really dark. And there's a lot of people who put on a really good front and they kind of go through the motions of, yeah, I got things in order and yeah, I'm full to overflowing. If you don't believe me, just check out my Instagram feed and see all these people that I've been hanging out with and all these places I've been traveling to. But the truth of it, inside you're thinking about suicide. Inside you're thinking about divorce. Inside, you're thinking about never speaking to your kids again, or maybe never speaking to your parents again. So we can be dark in deep places. So what's the solution to this? To have a relationship with God to where that he becomes something more than a helicopter pilot or parent. You have to allow God's word to work in you. I want you just to say it out loud with me. Everybody ready? Begin. Allow God's word to work in you. You didn't do it in church online. Come on, say it out loud. Ready? Begin. Allow God's word to work in you. Let me show you what happens in Scripture. You guys want to go back to Genesis for just a minute? Y'all still with me? All right, look at this. Genesis chapter 1. The earth was without form and it was void and it was dark. We've established that, right? And why was it that way? It was because the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. But then God said... And then God said, are y'all with me? God started talking. God's word got involved. And when God's word got involved, verse number 3, and God said, let there be light. And God said, verse 6, verse 9, and God said in verse 11, and God said in verse 14, and God said in verse 20, and God said in verse 24, and God said in verse 26, and God said over and over again throughout the creation process, God's just talking. He's just releasing his word. And as God is releasing his word, what we see is things that are without form started taking shape, and things that were empty started getting filled. And there was a chain of command that was put into effect. Why? Because the word of God reshapes environments, it fills atmospheres, and it establishes flow. That's what the word of God does. From creation until now. And so if you're in a place where that it feels like the environment that you live in, if you would allow me to use that word, like the habitat that you're residing in, if it needs to be reshaped, then you need the word of God. If the atmosphere that you're living in, it just feels like, man, I am suffocating. I've reached this place where let me just say it this way. For some of you, the environment that you live in, it is eroding. Your marriage is getting worse, not better. Your relationship with God is getting worse, not better. Your workplace, your approach to your career, it's getting worse, not better. You're pursuing education, but it feels like everything's getting worse, not better. That means your environment is eroding. It tells us that one of the things God had to do in the beginning is to replenish stuff. That he had to reshape stuff. He had to bring order to those things that were without form. When you start talking about an atmosphere, what happens to a fish if it gets out of water? It dies. Why? Because it can't breathe. When you read Genesis chapter 1, there's something you need to notice. Every single thing that God created, he created with his word until he got to man. We may talk more about that in a moment, but what I want you to notice is the way that he does it is when God got ready to create a tree, he spoke to the earth, he spoke to the land, he spoke to the dirt and called the trees forth. When God got ready to make fish, the way that he did it is he spoke to the water and he called the fish forth. What's he teaching us? He called things forth from the atmosphere that was an environment that was going to be required for them to be sustained. So it's not by accident that when God created man, he spoke to himself. And the reason that you're never going to be able to live in an environment that is not eroding without involving God, and the reason you're never going to be able to live in a spiritual atmosphere that doesn't make you feel like you're suffocating without God, is because He is the atmosphere from which you came from, the environment that is required for you to thrive, for you to have order. You know, some folks need to understand God establishes flow, and that's a part of what I'm talking about, of how He brought an order and He brought a flow. And I could take some time and really, really break that down for you, but you just need to understand God told everything to get in its place and stay there. He told the light how far it could come, and He told the darkness how far it could come. He told day how far it could come and how far night it could come. He told the borders of the waters of the oceans, this is how far the land comes and this is how far the oceans come. He set borders, and borders allow for flow. How do I know that? You ever seen a swamp? The thing about a swamp is that it's a river that's lost its borders. And so when a river loses its borders, there is no flow. And so everything just gets swampy, and you don't want to hang out with stuff that lives in swamps. So what you want God to do is to bring His word, then get involved in your life. Why is that so important? Because the word of God cannot return void. So shall my word be that when it goes forth from my mouth, say it with me, it shall not return to me void. So in other words, when the word comes in contact with something that's empty, it can't stay that way. And when the word comes in contact with something that's without form and without order, it cannot stay that way. And when the word comes in contact with something that's dark, it cannot stay that way. So what we come to know is that the word is the thing in our life that turns the lights on and becomes a lamp unto our feet. There went the dark places. The word, it becomes that thing in our life that fills us to overflowing. It is bread unto the eater and seed unto the sower. And it is something that we live by. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is how man is actually able to be spiritually sustained. The word of God, the word of God, it doesn't return void. And so I think maybe what you have to do for a moment is you have to evaluate the soundtrack of your life. Like seriously for a minute, the soundtrack of your life. I'm not just talking about the music that you're playing in the car. I'm talking about the conversations that are in your living room, the conversations that are in your dorm room, the conversations that are in your office, the conversations that are in your car while you're driving. Like, what place does the Word of God hold in your life? Are you constantly talking from a place of cynicism and toxicity and pessimistic attitude? Are you constantly talking in a sinful tone or in a coarse jesting tone? Like, are there things in your life that are distancing you from the Word of God to where it's like, okay, God's kind of hovering over my life. Thank God my mama prays that He'll do that. You know, God's kind of hovering over my life. I went down front at the altar and they laid hands on me and they prayed that, you know, God would be over my life. But I want to know, is God in your life? Like, have you ever really allowed the Word of God to get in your life and start doing something? Because wouldn't it be enough if we could just see, okay, God will stop my environment from eroding. He'll create an atmosphere where I don't feel like I'm suffocating. He'll bring a flow that's not stifled. All that would be awesome. But the thing about God is that when he gets His Word to work, and then God said, let us make. It would be one thing for God to do all those things we just talked about. But God says, I want to get a hold of man. I want to get a hold of woman. And I want to make something. And what He says is He wants to make something that's not in the image of this world or after the image of our wants. He says, I want to make something that resembles my image in the earth. So God, perhaps using the ocean for His mirror, in the moment of creation, kneels down into the earth and He starts shaping and molding and making man in His image. Like, His word has created this environment. His word has created this atmosphere where what He's about to make is going to be able to thrive and going to be able to survive. And it's going to be something where when this man, when this woman, when they get up, they're not going to live some weak, watered down life. But He says, when they
they get up, they're going to be blessed with dominion. They're going to be fruitful. They're going to multiply. They're going to subdue every single thing that comes in front of them. I'm going to make something out of it. Ain't that what you want from God? Like, God, take my life and make something out of it. And don't just make my dream or my vision. God, I don't want a good idea. I want your idea for my life. I want your plan. I want your purpose. I want your hope. God, I want you to get your word in me and your hands on me. And I want you to go to making something out of me. Make something out of me that coincidence cannot take the credit for. God, make something out of me that hell has to shake in its boots trying to figure out what it's going to do with me next. God, make something out of me that the gates of hell will not prevail against. God, make something out of me where the weapons of my warfare would not be carnal through man's hands, but they would be mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. God, make something out of me. Put your word in my life. Put your hands on my life and go to making something. Shape and mold and make. God, make something out of me. Make something out of me. Remember what I told you at the beginning? God creates and the enemy counterfeits. God gives a vision, the enemy brings division. God builds, the enemy breaks. Remember all that? So God's word went to work. God went to making something. And the first thing the enemy does, we do not know when Lucifer, who became Satan, got threw out of heaven. All we know is we don't see anything out of him until God made something. Preaching better than y'all are helping. Like, where's the Joker hanging out at? Oh, now you're going to show up now that God made something. As long as there was no order, as long as there was no atmosphere to thrive in, as long as there was no flow, as long as there was no chain of command, don't see nothing out of that Joker. But the moment God starts bringing order, creating environments and establishing atmospheres and make something, here comes that slithering snake. That's confusing to me. Because scripture described him as an archangel. So how'd he show up on earth as a snake? Well, remember when God made something? He gave him dominion over everything on the earth. And yet the angels were from heaven. And so what had to happen before the devil could mess with them, he had to take on the image of something they had dominion over. He couldn't take anything from them. They had to give it away. And he crawls into that garden, slithers up in that tree, and the first thing he did was twist the word of God over their life. The first thing he did, it is his character. When the enemy showed up to mess with Jesus in Luke chapter 4 in the wilderness, the first thing he did was twist the word of God. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to see in these last days, and it will deceive even the very elect if it were to be possible. The enemy is about to slither into some places, and he is going to do everything that he possibly can to distort and confuse people's understanding of the word, because he wants to take the order and bring disorder and chaos and ruin and rioting. The enemy wants to show up, and he wants to begin to steal, to kill, and to destroy so that people feel like that they are suffocating to the point that suicide rates continue to soar. The enemy wants to show, am I making sense to anybody? He wants to show up where your life ain't got no flow and it feels like you have no purpose and there's no reason to live and you're just constantly dealing with all the swamp things in the spirit realm. But what God wants you to get his word down on the inside of you to the point that just like Jesus did, when the enemy shows up and he starts testing and he starts tempting and he starts distorting and he starts twisting, you can stand there and decree and declare, I have the word of God over my life and I'm not going to risk this full place playing with something that could become empty. So I told my wife last night, I was going to struggle this morning because I knew I was going a little bit deep, and I'm trying to stay over here and not jump off in the deep end, and because I want you to get this, and I don't just want to be deep for the sake of being deep. Like, I want to really help you this morning.
I think maybe some of us need to be reminded that when you allow God's word to work in you, he can make something of your life. Just let his word go to work. Like when you read, call, or you hear preached, call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Let his word go to work. When you read or hear preached, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Let his word go to work. When you hear his word preached or read that you should love your wife as Christ loved the church, let his word go to work. But when you read or you hear preached that anything outside the bed of marriage is defiled, let his word go to work. When you read that drunkenness and sexual sin and backbiting and seeds of discord are not of God, let his word go to work. When you read that it is possible for you to ignore, in Scripture, we're told if you ignore God's call in your life, God speaking to your life long enough, your conscience can be seared. Let his word go to work. When you read or you hear preach from the word of God, shut the door and pray in private that God might reward you openly. Let his word go to work. And when his word goes to work, I promise you, you're going to look up and you're going to make something yourself. Not because of your might, not because of your power, but because you said, I don't just want the Spirit hovering over me. I want the Spirit of God and the word of God at work in me. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. They're going to play some music softly. And as they do so, I want you just to throw your hands up in the air with me if you're comfortable with that. If you're not, I get it. I understand. But in some way, just create a posture that's conducive to saying, God, I want to receive the Holy Spirit in my life through the word of God. Here's one of the things that Scripture says to us. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says to us that in Jesus, the Godhead was made manifest bodily. And so it says because of that, you can be complete. In other words, everything you need to be completed can be made come to pass because of Jesus. And so when you see, let us make, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead showing up at creation and saying, we're going to go to work first with the word and then we're going to put our hands on it. We're going to make something out of man and woman. When you see that, you need to understand that that's available to you first and foremost through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us, they can show up in your life and go to work. And in the same power and authority that was manifest in creation can be made manifest in 2021 in your life.
that God is calling our church to build ministry that seeks the lost, makes disciples, and meets needs.